VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo. Technology. What is it all about?
Well, it's so funny. There was so much heat and light around Theranos. And obviously, it fizzled. And it feels like you guys are on the cusp of actually doing the thing.
Yes.
But nobody knows about you. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, well, this is part of us knowing about us. So, but I think this is part of us ramping up now and not getting ahead of our skis, which is making a whole bunch of claims that we can't back up using our science first. But
hello and welcome to Danny in the Valley. How is everybody doing? We're almost there, almost to Christmas. Just a note on that point before we get started today. I had said that this would be the last episode of 2023. I was not telling the truth. It's not. I kind of messed up my dates. So I'm going to record one more for you all next week, and I think you will find the subject matter very interesting, very pertinent, very timely. We have a great guest, so stay tuned for that. No more spoilers. But this week, so you all know the story of Theranos, this, you know, the amazing rise and fall, this tragic story of Elizabeth Holmes, who sold this dream of being able to do all of your blood tests from a single drop of blood from your finger. It was this really alluring idea. She raised hundreds of millions of dollars, took in kind of really the world, but it turned out she was lying about the technology. It never worked and became this massive scandal that spawned a mini industry of books, podcasts, films, television series, etc. Well, that was a while ago. And a funny thing has happened while no one was looking. Another company called Babson Diagnostics is just about to deliver on what Theranos was promising all those years ago. So a couple months ago, I met David Stein, who is Babson's chief executive, and when he was passing through the Bay Area, we sat down, and he brought along with him Babson's key invention, which is this little finger prick device that takes a little bit of blood about the size of a pea, so it's not a single drop, but it's not much, and it's from your finger. And with that, they can do a whole bunch of, you know, your kind of standard diagnostic blood tests. So no need for getting your forearm jabbed with a big needle. It's a big deal. And Babson has been working on this in the background for 8 years in, you know, relative anonymity. Nobody even really knows about this company. But just in the past week, the company got a key approval from the FDA, which means that by early next year, its new blood testing system, this holy grail at the heart of the Theranos story, that scandal, will be realized. It will be out there in the world. So I sat down with David to talk about, you know, how he pulled this off, what it was like working in the shadow of the kind of the Theranos circus while they were all, you know, working on a similar technology, and, you know, kind of what they saw, what they thought, and what it means for all of us when sometime soon we could easily get our blood drawn at, you know, the pharmacy, the chemist, the supermarket, and just the implications for public health. So it's just a really interesting story because Babson isn't sexy. Babson Diagnostics, even the name compared to Theranos, just doesn't have quite the same, you know, frisson, if you will. That's French. But it's just a bunch of people from deep inside the diagnostics industry who set out to solve a big problem without the fanfare, and they're just about there. So it's a fascinating counterweight to the kind of the hype machine that often sucks up all the oxygen in the room, even if there's not a lot of substance behind it. So with that, I will now hand you over to my conversation with David Stein of Babson Diagnostics. Enjoy. Let's just start with the most basic question. What's the big idea?
I think when you look at broad diagnostic blood testing, 70% of medical decisions are informed by blood testing, by blood results.
Right.
50% of a patient's medical record is blood results, right? Over 10 billion blood tests are done a year in the U.S. It's the most utilized medical intervention.
Right.
Yet, 40% of people report skipping.
What do you mean report skipping?
If you ask, they would get a script from their doctor or they're asked to get blood testing.
Oh, go to this lab, get a, right. And they're just like, no, I don't want to do
that. They don't get it done. It's highly underutilized. And what's super important is I can't look at you here and say, are you healthy or not? But if you give me broad blood results, I have a very good picture of biology. It's probably the single most important thing to do to both proactively drive health, manage disease, and look at disease. That's why as soon as you're concerned about anything, your clinician sends you flip blood work.
Right.
So the question is, this is so important. It's utilized a lot, but it could be utilized more. But the issue is it largely hasn't changed in over 70 years.
Right.
In 1947 or around there, Joseph Kleiner invented the Vacutainer, invented a way of collecting blood reliably from a vein.
The Vacutainer.
Yes.
That's a new word for me. That is fantastic.
That is the BD device, but there's many like it. It hasn't changed in 70 years. And it hasn't not changed. There's been a lot of innovation when it comes to the testing you can do, accessibility. But the direct human interface of how a blood sample is collected and how it's largely processed hasn't changed. There's been a lot of advances, as we all talk about, in oncology and other areas. But the really important stuff of knowing your red blood cells, white blood cells, your proteins in your blood, cancer markers, how do you collect that sample and how do you process it so you can look at those results proactively for wellness, and if you're tracking disease, hasn't changed.
That is the intravenous in the crook of your
forearm. Generally in the crook of your arm.
Right.
And for many people, it's very traumatic. Becton Dickinson, a market leader themselves, talk about that over 56% of people have difficult veins, which for the majority of them take two or more interventions. Everybody has stories of venipuncture.
Two or more interventions mean you're getting
two or more sticks to try to get a sample done.
Right.
And the question is, how can we bring an alternative to market that allows a different form of collection? But the key thing here is without sacrificing quality, menu breadth, cost structure, and results that your clinician can trust.
Now, I'm going to stop you right here because I've heard this before.
Sure.
And I feel like you should be wearing a black turtleneck and have blonde hair. Of course, I'm talking about Theranos. This was the whole idea. Right? Of changing the way you can draw blood, making it less traumatic because it's in that case, it was a finger stick and you could carry out, I can't remember how many they said, dozens and dozens of tests. Yep. And that, as everyone knows, was a fraud. It was just too difficult. And they tried and tried, and then they started lying about it. And that's a whole different story. I read the book. I wrote a bunch of stories about Theranos. So I came away with the impression that this is a really good idea, but it was really hard to pull off. Yep. So what are you guys doing? No,
great question. I think as you can imagine, one we both lean into and love to answer. I'll take a step back and talk about the origin story of Babson because I think it's an interesting one, but also plays to why we're uniquely positioned to tackle this problem. Theranos got it really right when it comes to the customer. People wanted a true alternative.
Right.
You saw in how excited people were for it. They failed in their integrity, in their ability, technology, all the other stuff everybody knows very well about. At the time, I was with Siemens. I was leading a number one or two point of care business for Siemens. Other people that were in Babson were leading other parts of businesses. And I was constantly fielding questions in 2014 from venture capitalists saying, should we invest in Theranos? And going to board meetings of other labs saying, what are we going to do? They're disrupting
our business. And what were you making at the time? What were you
I was leading. So Siemens is one of the leading diagnostics companies in the world across imaging and lab testing. They make the instruments on the lab side that do the testing of blood.
Right.
At that time, I was leading the point of care business. So probably the thing that resonates the most is if you donate urine at your doctor, there was a good chance that was being tested on one of the Siemens products.
Gotcha.
But also, I had previously ran R&D for the core lab of Siemens. So Siemens' current kind of premier instruments, the Atelica, I was the lead inventor of. So I spent 20 years in diagnostics, grew up in diagnostics. I've always had a passion for healthcare. Couldn't be a clinician, so focused on the intersection of innovation and medtech. Company I was part of got bought by Siemens in 2006, and I was just given a lot of great opportunities.
So from afar, when you saw Theranos happening, and they're worth $7 billion, whatever. All these investors, yes, and everybody's like, oh my God, they're changing the world, and they're doing these deals with Woolworths and all this stuff. Were you – what – was your assessment, or did you have one?
Yeah, I mean, as you could imagine, we started to really look at it, right? Our thing was, if our customers are being potentially to be disrupted, we have to do something because it's a sizable business.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what we started Babson as inside of Siemens. So we started to incubate the idea of, could you really do broad testing? Not one or two tests, but the most commonly ordered broad panels.
Because that was the idea, right? It was like one drop or whatever, and you could do...
Right. That was the idea. So the question is, everybody has thought about it. For 20 years of my diagnostics career, it's been thought of. So the question was, could you actually do it today? Now, we were coming on the heels of Siemens developing a new analytical system, broad system, you know, these giant systems that test blood in labs. I had been running a point of care business for a number of years. We had been surveying the space, and we pulled together a beautiful team together with the only goal of, hey, just like you would do any kind of venture startup, let's start to look at this problem. What is the exact problem we want to solve? How do we solve it uniquely? Because we knew solving it with a system sitting at the site being tested probably wouldn't scale over time because of unit cost structure and somebody needs to sit by an instrument. You need to start to think through what's an architecture that would really work? And then is there technology that could be applied or could we develop technology? So we started to incubate this in 2014 inside of Siemens. By 2016, we had figured out the back end actually, which was, how could we do more blood results with smaller volumes of blood? We had also invented some very unique technology around what's called pre-analytics. So how do you take a sample from how it's collected and prepare it so it can go onto a high-volume system?
Right.
What you don't see phlebotomists do is actually they spend a lot of their time, besides mixing and labeling, they have to time the sample for the serum samples to clot them, refrigerate them, all this stuff that you don't see, highly manual. How do we automate all that? And then also, how do you make it so that you can maximize the clinical utility of the blood you collect? So the back end is, how do you need less blood on a high volume system without doing tricks like diluting sample and adding fluid to your blood? How do you maximize the clinical utility of the sample you collect? But we didn't have a great sample collection partner, to be honest.
And just so people understand, and I think most people will know this, the kind of the state of the art, so to speak, or this, let's say the traditional way we test, do broad panel testing of blood. How many vials do you need?
Collecting 2+ vials of usually around 10 milliliters of blood each.
Yeah. And those are like those finger size.
Yes. Yes. Everybody's experienced them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that make them, including BD, who we partner with, does a really good job with those tubes. It's just for a lot of people, that interface with a needle going in your arm is not friendly. But the beautiful thing of it, you collect a large volume of blood and you don't have to really worry about how to utilize that blood because you have
so much
of it, right? The question becomes now when you start to say that blood is the thing you have to conserve, the volume, now how do you make sure you maximize the clinical utility of it without sacrificing being able to do broad menu,
quality
all those aspects, because that was always a trade-off, right? That if I do a test near the point of care, maybe the results aren't as good as the cost structure is not as good, but I'm getting a quick result, right? And you're seeing this a lot with some of these at home where it's directional testing. It's not clinical testing. Our thing was, since we originally incubated it inside of Siemens, it had to be of a level of that quality. So approached Becton Dickinson in the summer of 2016. Happened that they were also working on some new technology, and it's been a beautiful partnership on that side. Long story short, various reasons, Eric Olson, who's the founder of Babson and my partner, we've been working together now for over 20 years, left Siemens, founded Babson, got seed funding from Venture Global Prism, and then Siemens spun out all IP and know-how and licensing into Babson, made a cash investment and signed exclusive relationships, and then we signed some also agreements that are all public with BD around exclusivity. And actually what's cool is a lot of BAPS and IP is contained in a device we're developing with BD right now.
So basically what you guys did is effectively spin out all this work you had been doing inside Siemens, and then right. BD did as well, put in some of their IP. So all the stuff you'd been working on spun out and funded in a new company.
Yeah, kind of what's kind of unique. It's kind of opposite of a typical startup path. Typical startup path is really cool idea, get it going, and then a corporate buys you.
Yeah.
We did the opposite for various reasons. But I'll tell you, both Siemens and Becton Dickinson have been incredible partners for us. And it's one of the reasons we're able to tackle this.
Is it fair to kind of just summarize what you guys are doing is basically Theranos realized?
I think from the human interface, yes. The promise that Theranos realized with the differences based in solid technology, based in things that are done the right way, with incredibly strong partners in this.
Because I see the little things, little stuff you have on the table here. So I don't know if you could explain.
Yeah, so I mean, we're pre-launch. We're marching towards launch and finalizing clinical. But starts with our partnership with BD. It's the BD mini draw. We just did a really cool preference study with BD, where at three different pharmacies in Texas, people came in, they got sampled using the Babson method, using MiniDraw. And then 2 weeks later, we're called back by a third party. And the results are 90% of people had a positive experience, 89% would recommend it. This for blood testing is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But again, it's something where you would walk into, our first launches will be at retail pharmacies.
Right.
And I'll talk more about our digital, everything digital first. You'll just show them a code. They know nothing about you other than they're collecting one or two tubes. 5 to 10 minutes, you're in and out. Super simple collection. Just
And it's from a fingertip.
From a fingertip, right. Typically your middle or index finger. And there's a lot of innovation in this device. I wish I had some vision view, but a lot of
innovation. So this kind of looks like almost like a butterfly thing that sticks on your finger, and then at the end is a little space, and then this is where the blood goes in.
Yep. So if you go to BD Investor Relations, you can see the collection device. And as you can see there, Danny, a lot of innovation when it comes to ensuring a high-quality sample.
It's like on a hinge, and then you push the hinge down, and then I presume you press down there, and then it pricks.
I mean, it basically, you use a lot of commercial off-the-shelf stuff, but it goes on your finger. It guides who's collecting for you to lance in the right location, and then everything else is pretty much automated via somebody pushing on ear devices on the tube. What's beautiful here is you collect a very reliable sample, and it's something that we've worked with BD for a long time on, because blood is very perishable. You know, blood has red blood cells floating around that you do not want to disturb. It's called hemolysis because they have very high concentrations. I like to say it's like putting a few drops of dye into water. You can't reclaim it. So that's key there. There's a lot of innovation that we've worked together with BD on this tube. And then this tube plugs into the whole Babson ecosystem.
The whole back end, which
We leave a small device at the retail pharmacy or anywhere we're doing collection that automates everything from connecting you to the tube to mixing it to timing centrifugation to refrigerating it. It makes it super simple. It's a caddy and talks it through. And then our couriers come once a day, proactively restock supplies, pick up the samples, and then bring them to our highly automated lab. Our first lab is in Austin, Texas. So I spent my time between the East Coast and Austin, Texas. We have an incredible team in Austin. We have a beautiful, CLIA high complexity cap accredited lab in Austin, and that will service our launch markets, which will be Texas area. And then we will expand step by step nationwide.
What's the other thing?
This is just a little trinket we give out to people. And that little jewel there, which is the size of a small pea, is the amount of blood we collect. So it's a really good visual way of seeing that.
I see. So That's it.
Now, the key thing here is, how do you make sure you're not wasting that blood? And that's Babson IP called reverse centrifugation and other things so that you're, in the end of the day, we use everything but about a fifth of the drop of blood that's in the tube. So really maximize that.
And so how many tests are done on that little pea-sized container of blood?
So we do, from that on the serum side, we're planning to do everything from comprehensive metabolic panel to thyroid to a full lipid panel, including directly measured LDL and Lp(a) to TSH, PSA, and other vitamin D just from that small amount of blood. That's one of the beauties of our Siemens partnership. We're able to actually miniaturize the amount of blood needed. we don't run it differently than the native Siemens system does. What we're able to do is modify the it's a printer toner cartridge approach, yep, where every assay has a different toner. We're able to actually, instead of making a mixed drink in a large glass, we make it in a thimble. So all the local dynamics and concentrations are the same. Well, we've optimized it for sample volume. And it's just been we're very happy with our clinical results there.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
For me, beyond the technology, what is super exciting is what it's going to do for me and you and for people that are listening as a patient. Since we started Babson in 2014, 2015, we said a few things were a must-have. It had to plug into the business of medicine because there is a standard way doctors order blood results. There is standard panels that get reimbursed. There is clinical performance. So we wanted to uphold that. And it needed to be a better experience, right? And what's been super exciting beyond the preference studies I discussed with you is not too long ago, we did a 7-site, 3-state clinical study with our retail partners, right? Where we would set up in a retail pharmacy on a Monday, typically in their vaccine room. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we recruited clinical study participants where they would come in. They would get collected using the Babson ecosystem, collected using the conventional ecosystem. And then that was tested so you can show the clinical equivalence of results. But more, it was so that the retail partners could see how easy it was in a transactional environment, right? So they could see how easy it was to fit into the pharmacy workflow and other workflows. What's incredibly excited there is when you see people that diagnostic blood testing is critical for them, but is a very traumatic event because of the amount of vasovagal reaction, or as you said before, for millions of years, we've been through evolution, we've evolved to say, don't put shiny things into soft parts of our body, right?
Yep.
Vasovagal is very real. Needle phobia is very real. And difficult veins is very real.
Sorry, hold on. What's vasovagal?
Where people have a reaction. They pass out or get sick when you put a needle in their vein.
How common is that?
I don't have statistics on it. I could just tell you qualitatively in our clinical studies, it's very pervasive.
Yeah, because I've given blood before and always like, okay, do you have a problem with needles? Make sure you're sitting down, very relaxed, because they're like, we have people passing out all the time. And I'm always like, I've never seen it happen, but obviously I'm sure.
It's more common than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And also those people self-select, right? You can imagine if you have that kind of feeling,
you're going to
self-select. We have a few people at Babson that even have it. They're in this industry. Yeah. They love it. They love Babson because they're a consumer. So bad that even a vaccine needle gets them passed out. So they have to lay down. The dignity is tough. And what we found during these clinical studies, beyond the formal preference studies we've done, is when you're recruiting a dozen or 20 people a day, you're getting a very vast population. You're getting people that have an actual issue with blood collection. You have people that are just interested. I remember one woman that was super powerful to me, which with tears in her eyes, she said, every time I go to get blood, I'm trying to quote her directly, but this is every time I go to get blood, three people try and usually they give up, right? We had that. We had people that have had cancer and their veins are blown out.
Mm.
And one, whether we like it or not, opioid addiction is a real issue and people recover, but they still have that stigma of every time I go to get blood tested, somebody sees my arm and they know what I went through. So that also gives people back. All those are super powerful. You also have other patient classes that just said, I'm at my pharmacy so often. It's so close to me. I would just love to get it done, right? I would just love to be able to walk in here just like my vaccines. I mean, vaccine is a great corollary for us because, I mean, the data that we have said vaccine utilization doubled in 09 to 19, even pre-COVID, because just making it accessible, right? You used to have to make doctor's appointments. We also saw during COVID, where did people go to get COVID testing, especially initially? They went to their pharmacy because it was so convenient. It was a very trusted space. And what it said to me is, why can't we do the same for blood testing? Where I can go in there quickly give a sample, and then call me back the next day or two with the results. Yeah. And that's what we're going to bring to market.
And so you've been working on this since 2014.
Yeah.
I just think that's interesting also, going back to the Theranos example and generally the Silicon Valley disruptor example, especially when you're talking about medicine or medical diagnostics. Because you guys have been working on this for nearly a decade, and it's still not approved by the FDA. Is that correct?
No, we're in a commercial process.
In the process, right? This stuff is hard, and it takes a long time,
especially if you hold integrity. So I think that's super critical. When I led a venturing group, I would always joke that any good startup is 10 years old, and maybe not this direct company, but maybe there was a few others before that. When you're trying to go after a big target, right? We're not going after rapid testing, one or two examples here. We're not chaining together pre-existing. We're saying we want to really reinvent end-to-end process that hasn't changed in over 70 years, and we want to do it right. This takes the systematic nature of decomposing the problem and doing it right across the board, especially if you're going to do it in a regulatory framework that we think is the right way to do it. And what people expect, right? Because nothing's worse than have to make excuses why this is not clinical. Why? So we've really gone after the big challenge. And with that, the beauty thing is we have the right partners behind us, and we feel we've done it in the science first way that's part of our culture.
And how do you think about the Theranos effect? Because I imagine, you can tell me if it's different, but I imagine there's two sides to it, right? Like the idea that company socialized, to your point, is like, oh my God, maybe there's a better way to do this.
Right.
That's a huge thing. But also then it turns out to be a complete fraud and the founder's in jail. And so I don't know if you also get, you know, when you're talking to potential partners or regulators, and you get the eye roll of like, yeah, we've seen this movie before.
Sure. I'd lie to you if I say it wasn't something that we constantly get asked. We lean into the discussion and we do something called the Better Way Challenge. So, you know, under IRB, under everything the right way, almost every one of our investors and partners has come to Austin, been part of a clinical study where they show their results done doing the BAPSN ecosystem end to end.
Yeah.
And then we collect actually two different sets of venipuncture tubes, standard methods. One gets tested in the BAPSN lab, one gets tested in a third party lab. You follow your blood for the whole testing and you see that you compare the results. So our whole thing is, we don't have to tell you, come and see it for yourself. Come experience it. Come get a collection. You're invited, Danny, to come get it done and be part of one of our clinical studies.
Right.
I think that is super critical that we see that there. Also, you could imagine we have both Siemens Healthineers and Becton Dickinson on our board of directors. The level of quality that requires is a whole different level. So I think, yes, we've been at it in earnest for about 8 years. Because we're tackling a very big problem and we're doing it in a science first, integrity way, which we feel will, in the end, will bring a true solution to people.
I presume you're, if not majority owned, mostly minority owned by your two founding big corporate partners. And if it works, you're kind of effectively disrupting core businesses of them. What is the nature of that relationship and how do you see that developing? If you guys are successful, I mean, do you just get gobbled back up by the companies that kind of spun you out? Or
I think one of the beautiful is it's a giant business, right? The outpatient, you know, diagnostics is a $50+ billion business in the U.S. alone.
Right.
The incumbents play a really critical role if you're dealing with oncology and other stuff. This is a big business. It's largely fragmented. We think we could really bring a new alternative and really address this routine and disease management screening and other things. I don't want to talk about our partners, what their intentions are. I think everybody understands that innovation drives business, that innovation in healthcare is super critical, and that it could only help everybody if we drive innovation. Usually, I don't want to talk about cap table, but we're hugely lucky to have these partnerships, not only for investments that some of them have made, but also just for the being able to combine both the startup speed with the breadth and capabilities of large companies. And it's just been, on both sides, incredible partnerships.
This is a bit off piece, but do you have a view, given this is what you're working on day in, day out, on this idea of liquid biopsies? Because I know there's a lot of companies, mm-hmm. another kind of, let's call it a holy grail. There's a lot of holy grails around. But one of them is, get a blood test. Oh my goodness, you have stage zero cancer.
Right.
And if you catch it that early, for many cancers, that's like, that is the difference between life and death.
Yeah.
That is something that a lot of companies are chasing. There's been a lot of money thrown at it. What is your sense of that?
It's funny, as you can imagine, it's a space I've tracked for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. As a future, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of spend being done. I actually have a broader view of it, right? Which is liquid biopsy or circulating tumor cells or things like that. The beautiful thing is if you add more data to it, right? And I'm not trying to bring this to Babson, but I think it's super important you look at both, which is if you look at people's broad blood results in retrospect, because there's very few expert systems that really help that, but you will start to notice, hey, you know what? Their ALK-FOS level started to increase. It was still within normal range, but hey, you know what? For that person, it was increasing. Or their liver enzymes were also increasing very slow, but they were increasing. Or their PSA maybe wasn't doubling, but it was increasing faster than it should have. In retrospect, you always say, I should have caught that. Like, how do we not catch it, right? But most people are not comparing last results over time. It's still normal ranges are very broad because what's normal for an 18-year-old healthy male might be different than a 59-year-old healthy male, right? Just different. So my question is, if we could do a little more holistic, which is just your routine stuff, constantly be looking at, if you see any signals that something might be going on, reflex is not only liquid biopsy, but broad tumor antigen panels and other things we can do using testing that's available today, right? And I think that's what I'm really bullish is the integration. As you start to integrate all these data sources and you have somebody looking at it, right? I always joke that if somebody bounced a check 30 years ago, a bank could find that out
for sure.
In a minute, right?
Yep.
If I asked you, get me your latest blood results, most people say, I don't know, I got to go find, print out somewhere or an email somewhere. And I think that's an issue, right? That how do we make it so that all these data sources get integrated so that we're looking for minute changes in your personal biology, right? Because everybody's an N of one. And then how do we make sure your personal biology, and then we start to chain these advanced testing. First is people just get tested, you know, do your annual or however broad testing, track to see if things are affecting, especially if you have a history, and then start to bring these other things in. I think that's what's beautiful. A little bit is we're stepping over that first step, which is just keep screening going, right? Mm. But I'm bullish on new technology.
Yeah.
You know, your blood is amazing, right? Your blood has thousands of things floating around in it. A lot of stuff we're just learning about now.
Mm.
And we've seen how certain markers have just changed the world, right?
Right.
You know, troponin changed the whole way heart attacks are triaged.
I have no idea. Please explain.
It's a marker of muscle damage, especially cardiac muscle damage, right?
And it's floating around in your blood.
Right. Only if you have muscle that kind of muscle damage. So it's a very quick way of knowing. And we will see.
And that you can see that pre-heart attack, like, oh.
Very low or non-existent.
You're super at risk.
No, this is one where it tells you if you're having a heart attack or not.
Okay.
Troponin does. There's other things like PSA doubling that gives you a view of, hey, is something going on with your prostate? And then there's other things in the blood that you can look at for other cancers or other health states. We also know that more, I like to drive health more, that, hey, if your inflammatory markers are low and your HDL is high and other things are really good, then probably you're in good shape, right? We all know that if your A1C is in a good range, then your metabolic health is probably really good. So I think I like to proactively look at what markers can you make lifestyle or other different changes to drive into a better place so that you have some assurance things are going well. You're not looking for it when it goes out of range.
Right.
That you're using the results to proactively drive your health.
there's a lot of this going on at the moment. I mean, you're wearing what looks like an Apple Watch or something.
I've got a
Fitbit.
Yeah.
There's a couple companies in Silicon Valley at the moment who are selling like full body scans.
Yeah. Yep.
For a couple grand, and you go in there and I guess they give you a sense of anything that might be amiss in your body. It does feel like we are, well, I'm trying to understand where we are, because it feels like it's becoming easier and easier to assess your health.
Yes.
But I don't know what good that is. You know what I mean? Like, because it feels so uneven, and it feels like, oh, we have all this data, but it's like, okay, well, to your point,
yeah,
where does it all go? How is it being made use of?
So a little personal, just personal story. So, you know, I think we sometimes when you're in it, you have a little a view, you see all this stuff, but is the general population always experiencing that? And I'll go back to something I say. I was lucky. I had a polo side. I competed a little bit in Olympic lifting when I was in college. I had a great coach named Bill Starr, was pretty famous. I wasn't going to take steroids, so he said, try vitamins. Let's see how it has impact. I quickly realized getting some blood work would tell me if it's having impact or not, and it's just been great. A little bit of the early days of biohacking he was involved in, and just from the sports. And I've looked at it nonstop.
What are the vitamins you took?
Well, I mostly just – I mean, back then it was mostly just minerals and things that support, you know, loading up on vitamin C for recovery. Nothing really miraculous, right? A lot of fish oil. I'm a Eastern European stock, so you have the typical metabolic issues they have. So for me personally, I take a lot of things that help there, and I really track my A1C and HDL and other things that are really important. But we're a little unique, right? We're on that tip. What I'm talking about is how do you make the general people have access to it, right? So I always say that we're stepping over hundreds to pick up pennies as a concept, and the whole thing is, yes, all those full body scans and all, they're all super interesting, especially if you're doing the simple stuff, which is just get blood work done, routine blood work. Just track your A1C, track your lipids, track your liver enzymes, right? Do your stuff that you know is good for you. Just move every so often, right?
Yeah.
That's what I want to make sure we're doing, because the people that are interested in biohacking and full body scans, I'm not worried about them. They're going to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
It's your friend's uncle or your friend's father or your friend that maybe isn't taking the best care of themselves. And the problem is, once you are pre-diabetic or diabetic, or you have some cardio, it's so hard to come back, right?
It kind of gets to this idea of, you know, this, everybody talks about preventative medicine all the time. Also this idea that you can't fix what you can't measure.
Right.
So if you can make it as if it's a finger stick and it takes 5 minutes, as opposed to like, I got to sit there and watch, you know, what feels like half of my blood supply leave my body. Right. That feels like it's almost like a piece of infrastructure for a new type of healthcare approach.
Reduce the friction. I think everything we're talking about here is about reducing friction. So our whole thing is make the collection side of it super easy, like you said. Like, you know, if you get your result in a day or two, that's fine, because most of the stuff you're not going to take acute action. I think everything we're wearing, Fitbits and stuff, they reduce friction. And what does that mean? Like, you know, it might sound crazy, but if you set a 10,000 step goal and it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night and you're at 9,000 steps, you might go for a quick walk to get it done, right? Or just knowing how your sleep has been, or just reduce friction and make it easier for people to integrate together. I think that's everything we need to do in healthcare, because everything else is friction reduced. I can go eat 20,000 calories by walking downstairs and going to a convenience center, right? I could refinance my mortgage, you know, in a few clicks of a button. Everything else in our life has been friction reduced. The most important thing, money doesn't matter if you have a health issue.
Yeah.
And how do we reduce that? And how do we make it so, as you said, we can move more towards proactivity and feeling empowered and take away the fear? I mean, there's still a lot of fear of what's really going on here. What does this really mean? And how do we start to reduce some of that fear also?
Right. How much money have you guys raised?
As an independent company, a little over $50 million.
$50
million. Yeah.
I presume you're going to have to raise more. Are you guys out looking for some?
I'm not going to comment our fundraising, but I think, you know, as a venture-backed startup, you're always in the field.
And in terms of getting to the promised land, is it basically FDA approval?
Right. So I think the next major milestone is clearance in our partnership with BD. and then start to roll out. We're going to roll out first in Texas, in Austin and San Antonio. We have a great partners there. And then rest of Texas, and then start to go metro area by metro area.
With healthcare in particular,
yeah,
cost
right.
is kind of
yes.
paramount.
Agree.
And I'm thinking also, like, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Britain. The NHS yeah. has yeah. huge challenges in terms of cost. What does that look like? Because it feels like, you know, are you a pain reliever or are you a vitamin? You probably want to be a pain reliever for health systems.
Right. What's unique in diagnostics is there's something called the clinical lab fee schedules and CPT codes. Since day one, one of the other things we said we had to plug into the business of medicine, which is order the same way doctors are used to,
yep.
get understand that reimbursement is what it is. So that's how we plug in, right? So the same CPT codes and reimbursement that other labs get is what we're plugging into. We're already a Medicare vendor, Medicaid in Texas, and we're in process with some of the largest private payers.
So you can just plug right in and get the same fees and whatever.
Yes, because of the quality yeah. of our results and that right. we have complete panels. So that's on the U.S. side. So our thing is, because you adopt Babson, it shouldn't, as we said, the whole quality, convenience, yeah. cost stuff. We've actually had some conversations with potential partners in the U.K. and other places. U.K. actually has a huge push in the NHS yeah. to move towards pharmacies and other areas. As you can imagine, there's a lot of future expansion for us when it comes to let's get the launch in the U.S. going really well in Texas, and then we'll look at all these other expansions. But we're open for discussions because this is not a U.S. problem alone. It's a world problem.
Well, it's so funny. There's so much heat and light around Theranos, and obviously it fizzled. And it feels like you guys are on the cusp of actually doing the thing.
Yes.
But nobody knows about you. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, well, this is part of us knowing about us. So, you know, the question always becomes when the trial was going on, we purposely didn't lean into it and do a whole bunch of interviews. I think one of the things that get missed in that whole thing is I have three daughters. They're all pretty technical.
Yeah.
And they all like science or like, who is their role model? The biggest sad thing of the Elizabeth Holmes trajectory is my daughters could have had a really great role model. Yep. I think we sometimes lose that, and I purposely stayed away from that and didn't. We purposely, as a company, I wouldn't say nobody knows us. We've attracted some really good investors, but I think this is part of us ramping up now and not getting ahead of our skis, which is making a whole bunch of claims that we can't back up using our science first. But Danny, I appreciate you having me on because this is yeah. part of our getting to know, right?
Yeah. Well, great. Let's have you back on once you guys have your next big event. I presume that would be FDA or when it's getting out there in the wild. Yeah. But yeah, very exciting.
No, it'd be wonderful to have you when we launch in Texas and the Austin area. Come down when we launch and actually see somebody get collected, yeah. see the test being done, follow the whole process, and that'd be super cool.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have. I want to thank David for taking the time. I want to thank you all for listening. And as I said, we have one more episode of this year, 2023. I cannot believe that. I'm even saying those words. Coming next week. So I will be writing about, I think I might be writing about Netflix this week, which is kind of a fun piece. So do check out the paper or go online, thetimes.co.uk. Find me on Twitter at Danny Fortson. Email me, danny.fortson@sundayhaventimes.co.uk with any questions, concerns, suggestions, etc. And I think that's it. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.